And welcome back to MTG Eternities. I'm your host, Carl. Now, we've had a few events this past week, and I'm going to go over those later on the show. First, I want to let you guys know I'm planning on posting another podcast later this week. Myself and a couple of really good friends of mine are going to be discussing the new commander decks that are going to come out. We're going to be discussing the viability of each commander, so on and so forth. So if you're interested in commander as a format, that might be something you're wanting to tune into. With luck, we'll cover everything that we want to cover, maybe even a little more going into deck techs or something like that you can do with the commanders or some other ideas that you might be willing to try. I know there's already a couple of infinite combos already being discussed right now within several of the decks, so if you don't know about those, it's something that we will be discussing, so please keep that in mind. Also, I do plan on continuing to do the contest giveaways, and as of right now, I'm looking at the 13th podcast. So I believe this is number 11, 12th will be the commander, and then the 13th, of course. I haven't set it up that far just yet. But please, if you're interested in the contest at all, that's just something as well to keep in mind. On a final note, I'm also looking into uploading more YouTube videos, more than just podcasts. I'm looking to possibly load up live action plays of select decks in Modern, Standard, and of course Legacy when I can get some of those in, maybe even some commander deck techs or some commander play. If you guys are interested in that, please let me know. I think it'd just be something real neat to show. And if possible, my first plan for that would actually be an as-is test run of the four commander decks. I know there are some channels that are already probably going to upload that. Star City Games might have something, Channel Fireball might have to have something. But it might be another source for you to look at to see which deck might stand out among the four. Or with all of the four commander deck techs, who knows, maybe all four of the decks that top each of those vids will be the same deck. Maybe they'll all be cats or something, who knows. So if that is something you're interested in, my YouTube channel again is MTG Eternities on YouTube. Go ahead and get in on the ground floor of the subscribers. But yeah, those are my immediate plans for right now. I know that's not what you're here for, though. So let's go ahead and review some of this past week's top decks for both Modern and Standard. So the first thing I want to do right now is I want to kind of compare the Star City Game Open and the Star City Game Classic, both at Syracuse this past weekend. I do have the top 8 list for both events. I'm going to go ahead and start with the Classic first. For the Star City Games Classic, first place was Volokut, second place was Burn, third place was Affinity, fourth place was Junk, fifth place was Bant, sixth place was Eldrazi Tron, seventh place was Red Blue Storm, and eighth place was the White Blue Control deck that's been going around. For me, the biggest surprise overall for this event was the first place Volokut deck. I think it's been a while, at least for me, to see Volokut in such a high place in Modern. It's usually a slower deck, wins, I would say, turn maybe 5 consistently, 6 if it's running slow for whatever reason. And right now, there just seem to be a lot of decks that can outspeed the Volokut deck as a whole. The fact of the matter is that this deck took first place in the format shows that Volokut is obviously still a viable combo deck. I believe it's the number one combo deck in format right now, at least percentage-wise. I think it's being played combo-wise like 6, maybe 7%. According to the MTG deck database, which is a pretty good percentage for any combo deck right now, honestly, considering that Eldrazi Tron and Death Shadow are still both well above 10% of the format. That's amazing. Both those decks, at least to me, have the ability to outspeed Volokut. So the fact of the matter is that Volokut was able to keep that pressure on and take first place in this event. This person obviously tested well against those decks. They knew what to bring in, and I think Eldrazi Tron and Death Shadow without playtesting against Volokut, because honestly, it's to me one of those decks that doesn't come around that often. So the fact of the matter is this person must have tested against those decks, knew what to bring in, and overall did a very solid job going into the top 8. As I mentioned before, there was only one Eldrazi Tron in that top 8 for the SCG Classic. The rest, ironically enough, looked like a very standard Modern top 8 to me. I haven't seen something like this in a while. The fact of the matter is Burn showed up, which is overall kind of surprising to me. Affinity's in its usual spot. Junk made a small comeback. Bant made a small comeback. Storm's still sticking around, which is something I like, and the white-blue control deck is actually doing fairly well. So with all those decks actually coming out and Eldrazi Tron only showing up once, maybe that won't lead to a ban per se for Eldrazi Tron or a ban per se for Death Shadow. Maybe something else is taking over the format right now and making it a slightly healthier format. I would still like to see, personally, another combo deck other than Valakut and other than Storm kind of take precedence a little bit. Maybe just something else show up slightly. I'm not saying it has to be, you know, oh, let's get Aetherworks Marvel in there. Oh, let's get Saheeli combo into Modern or something like that. It doesn't even have to be a turn 4 win. I would just like to see something more, per se. What that more is, maybe we'll get it upon the release of Ixalan. I'm kind of hoping of which that does happen. So I'm going to go ahead and go over the deck list, at least for this Valakut build. Something I haven't gotten to do in quite a while, actually. It's kind of nice, especially getting away from Standard just a little bit, for me at least. Of course, it seems like a typical Valakut build. You're running two Courser of Krufix main for the life game, four Primeval Titans. One, it's just a really good card, and it's going to help you fetch out of your mountains, and then if you have to go to plan B, which is Beat Face, it's a great Beat Face card. And then you're running four Sakura Tribe Elders. So it's not much on the creature game like most Valakut decks are. So the sorceries that it's going to be using in the instance, of course, as well, are two Angers just as a general board wipe. It's going to deal with a lot of stuff. It's using four Farseek to help fetch more lands out, four Lightning Bolts again. If it needs to use them to burn face, it can. Or if it needs to be instant removal, it can do the job just fine. It's running four Scapeshift, four Search for Tomorrow, again, more just ramp, and two Summoner's Pack to help you get out whatever creature it is that you need at the time. More than likely, it's going to be Primeval Titan, but I have seen Valakut on occasionally fetch for a Courser of Krufix or something like that. Moving on down to more or less the permanents that do damage in this list. One Chandra, Torch of Defiance, and I actually really like this, the fact that Chandra's kind of making her way into Modern more and more as the days and weeks pass. Just tells me, one, that they finally made a Chandra that's really playable, at least in Modern. We've had great Chandras in the past, and we've had terrible Chandras in the past. So this might be the Chandra that's comparable and beats out all the rest. So I'm actually really looking forward to seeing more out of Chandra, Torch of Defiance. And of course, the deck is also running two more Engineered Explosives just as a general board wipe to deal with stuff. Something I quickly want to mention before I get to talking about the sideboard, actually, and you'll see why here in a minute, but the deck is also running a one of Blood Crypt main and two Verdant Catacombs main as well. The Catacombs make sense because you just want more stuff to fetch out more mountains, so you can just fetch out Stomping Grounds with them or fetch out your Cinder Glades. They're forced, they'll catch everything. They also get the one of Blood Crypt in the deck. So for its sideboard, it's running one more Anger as another catch-all, two Chameleon Colossus, which I'm, again, ecstatic that this card has finally made its way back into Modern. It's a great card. For those who don't remember, Chameleon Colossus is a board drop, two green, two colorless, four power, four toughness with protection from black. It's also a changeling, so it's every creature type. Granted, in Valakut, it's not that relevant. Where it is relevant is that pro-black, so it's a great blocker against Death Shadow. It can absorb quite a bit, it can't be fatal pushed, and it can't be... The other benefit on Chameleon Colossus is you can pay 4, and Chameleon Colossus will gain plus X, where X is its power, which is really nice. So what you do is you're playing against Death Shadow. You bring in Chameleon Colossus. I think for this instance, you'd more than likely take the Coursers out, maybe, if not the Coursers, maybe two Prime Times to substitute in for the Chameleon Colossus, which I think is a fair trade out. The Chameleon Colossus comes down, it's going to block Gormag Angler, it's going to block Tasker, it's going to block Death Shadow. It can't be Fatal Pushed or anything like that, which is, again, really nice. And then when the Death Shadow becomes a 13-13 at some point, or 10-10, you just go block with Chameleon Colossus. You pump it, you kill whatever black card they just swung at you with, or you can go beat face with Chameleon Colossus, because for the most part, unless it is a Jund build of Death Shadow, it uses exclusively black creatures outside of the Snapcaster Mages that they have. So you can just beat face with Chameleon Colossus and win game as an alternate win con, which I applaud this person for putting the Chameleon Colossus in there. I really enjoy it. It seems like a very solid thing to do. Moving on, you'll notice that another card specifically for the sideboard is Maelstrom Pulse as a one of. Now, Maelstrom Pulse as a one of isn't bad. It's going to take care of, it's a catch-all. It can take care of any amount of tokens that need to die, or it can just take care of an Ensnaring Bridge, or it can take care of an Aven Mind Sensor on the field. Whatever you need it to take care of, it can take care of. Now, the thing I mentioned before is the deck's running black. So Maelstrom Pulse is 3, 1 green, 1 black, 1 colorless. So that's one thing you're going to bring the black in for, is the Maelstrom Pulse. Moving on, it's using 1 Nature's Claim. Valakut usually doesn't care about life gain. To an extent, if you make yourself gain more than 30 life before Valakut can go off, Valakut's going to have a hard time killing you. I've done it a couple of times with Affinity. I'm just equipping Vault Scourge and swinging for massive amounts of life gain. I think the magic number, at least against Valakut, is 34, maybe 36, and they're not going to be able to kill you in one go, which is something I really enjoy. So just a side tip for Affinity players, if you're able to get that far, for whatever reason, that's something to keep in mind. The deck is running 3 Obstinate Baeloth. It's just a great discard outlet to Liliana, to any cards like Thoughtseize or stuff like that. It's running 1 Rexage again for artifact destruction, 3 Relics of Progenitus to run against any deck that's going to have graveyard shenanigans like Snapcaster Mages, or it's going to run it against Dredge, which is really nice. It's running 2 Slaughter Pack, so that's again where the black comes in. He's running a 1 black main, and before I forget to mention, his last card inside is a swamp, so he's probably just going to take out a basic for the swamp or dual land of some kind for a swamp, something that's not going to mean a lot to him. But he's running these cards, he's running the 2 Slaughter Packs and the 1 Maelstrom Pulse as just black removal, which it's effectively a tricolor Valakut, which sounds odd, it looks initially odd to me. But it worked for this person, and I'm going to give this deck a test run online, and I'm going to see how well it does. I like the build. It seems rather fun. I'm, of course, going to adjust it to my needs, but all in all, it seems like a fairly solid deck. I could see how it got that far in the tournament and how well it did overall, which is, again, something rather nice. It's been a while since we've seen Combo at least take this high a placing within Modern for the last couple of weeks, last couple of months maybe even. It's been aggro, just with Death Shadow, with Eldrazi Tron, stuff like that. It wasn't until, at least in my opinion, recently, maybe a month ago now, that we're starting to see the Storm decks come out, we're starting to see Valakut decks come out a bit, and now we're even starting to see a Control deck become viable. So people are trying to find ways around things, which is something I like, and I'm giving a thumbs up to that. It's just something that seems really good right now. Now, before we move on, I'm not going to go over the whole deck list because that's the whole deck list for the top 8 because that's just going to take forever. I do want to give a quick shout out to the Junk, Bant, and White Blue Control decks. They all did incredibly well, and honestly, I think they're worth reviewing. But that's going to have to be for another time. I'm hoping those decks continue to do as well, despite Junk playing Siege Rhino. Hashtag ban Siege Rhino 2017. Besides that, I really wish that these decks keep doing well and making it so Eldrazi Tron and Death Shadow don't appear as much. I would hate to see a Modern ban coming. I feel like a Modern ban is coming. I feel like a Modern ban is coming for Death Shadow. I feel like it's coming for Eldrazi Tron. Something is going to get hit. I just have that feeling, and I think a lot of people are kind of getting that feeling as well. But hopefully it doesn't happen. Knock on wood. Now for the SCG Open, it's quite a bit of a different story. For the SCG Open, first and second place were both Eldrazi Tron, third place was Merfolk, fourth place was Jeskai Midrange, fifth place Affinity, sixth place Death Shadow, and then seventh and eighth place Red-Blue Storms. Now, in that one, we have a lot of pairings and we have a lot of traditional things we've kind of already talked about, stuff that's really dominating the format right now. With the two of Eldrazi Tron, the Death Shadow deck showing up, and then the double Blue-Red Storm. So that doesn't leave a lot for other decks to kind of show. I will say the deck I kind of want to focus on this time around, actually, is the Merfolk deck, which is, again, a surprise to me. So we have some old favorites kind of coming out of the woodworks right now. We have Junk coming out of the woodworks, Burn coming out of the woodworks, Valakut's making a strong standing, and of course now Merfolk. We haven't seen Merfolk top 8 in a while, and I'm kind of glad it did. Now, the Merfolk build is slightly unusual, per se, and we'll get to that. So, the land base is kind of traditional. You have two Cavern of Souls, 12 islands, one Minamo school at the water's edge, four Mutavolt, and one Orboro palace in the clouds. So, for those who don't know, the Minamo and the Orboro are there just so your islands don't get messed up. The Cavern of Souls are there to keep your creatures uncounterable, and the Mutavolts act as another Merfolk. Well, they'll act as anything, but in this deck, of course, they're going to act as another Merfolk. They're going to trigger off all the lords. So the creature base, again, for the most part, is pretty standard. There's some things I want to bring attention to. Four Curse Catcher, three Harbinger of the Tides, four Lord of Atlantis, three Master of Waves, four Master of the Pearl Trident, four Silvergill Adept, and two Vendilion Click. Now, if you notice something I mentioned in there was a two of Vendilion Click. The reason I think this is in the deck is to give the deck kind of air superiority, or at least an air blocker, because the deck does lose in the air. It gives them something game one against Affinity if they need a blocker or something to that equivalence, game one against Affinity, or to help them draw a card and put away, like, say, an island they don't need, or help Thoughtseize the opponent or see what they're playing against. All in all, it's a great add-in. I'm slightly confused by it because I'm a traditional tribal person when it comes to Merfolk. I like to see almost exclusively Merfolk, but I'll let this one slide. It's rather clever, and I really like it, to be honest. The fact that two Vendilion Click made it into this deck is rather nice. The deck is also using three Dismember, the only removal the deck has. It's using four of Aether Vial, the other one drop in the deck, and the engine that Merfolk generally runs off of, two Smuggler's Copter, and four Spreading Seas. Now, I don't want to make it seem like I'm not trying to make Smuggler's Copter a big deal. Smuggler's Copter is an amazing deal in the right deck, and this is definitely the right deck for it. The only other deck that I've seen play Smuggler's Copter so far, successfully, was the Black Blue Fairies build that the Professor came out with, like, I think almost maybe 2 months ago, right about now. That's the only other deck that I've seen Smuggler's Copters make it into Modern so far. And the fact that Smuggler's Copter is now making it into Merfolk should tell you something, not only about the power of Smuggler's Copter, but the threats that Smuggler's Copter is going to be presenting. Any one of the creatures that Merfolk can put out can fly the Smuggler's Copter, no issue whatsoever. It gives them use for their Curse Catcher. So turn one, you're going to play a Curse Catcher. Turn two, you play Smuggler's Copter. You can then crew to block with Smuggler's Copter if you need to, or you can sack the Curse Catcher after you crew your Smuggler's Copter, which isn't a bad play at all. It's going to be a 2-for-1, or maybe a 2-for-2, which isn't too bad. It gives your Curse Catcher something else to do. Curse Catcher is an amazing card. It's a very strong card, being the fact that it is the only one drop in the deck outside of a Phyrexian Lifed Dismember and an Aether Vial. It's hard to do a fit. And let's say you have an island and a Mutavolt. This allows you to play the Smuggler's Copter, because for the most part, all your creatures are blue heavy. All your creatures are 2 blue, or they cost more than 2 blue. So this allows you to still potentially draw into something if you need to, which isn't too bad. And again, it gives you an early blocker against Affinity. Affinity's not going to want to swing into a 3-3 Smuggler's Copter. For the most part, as an Affinity player, all my flyers are 1-1s that gain life, or they're 1-1s that have infect. And yes, I have other 1-1s in the deck, but they're not going to trade against a Smuggler's Copter at all. The closest thing I'd have to do, I'd have to cranial plate it, or I'd have to Galvanic Blast it as soon as you made it into a creature. So there's not a lot I can do against a Smuggler's Copter as an Affinity player. I kind of wish, as an Affinity player, I was actually able to play Smuggler's Copter. I playtested with it a long time ago, and it didn't work out too well for me, unfortunately. So the fact that Smuggler's Copter made it into these two decks should show you the power of it. It's just a really great card. Obviously, with Vendilion Click and Smuggler's Copter, that was enough of a change for this Merfolk player to make it well into top 8. They made it into top 4. Now, unfortunately, it seems like Merfolk is still too slow to beat Eldrazi Tron, but that's okay. Some minor adjustments can be made. The Harbinger of the Tides is not going to do a heck of a lot against a hasted out Reality Smasher. There's not going to be a lot of cards that do anything against that. That's effectively what Dismember is in there for, is to kill that, but you're still going to end up 2-for-1-ing yourself because you have to discard another card. And that's not to mention Thought Knot Seer is still there, Matter Reshaper, a bunch of other powerhouse cards. Plus, you're still going to have Walking Ballista to deal with, and Walking Ballista can also machine gun down most of these creatures. I do think if this player put Hero the Great Glass Spinner, even as a one of in the deck, could have potentially saved him against a Walking Ballista, because that requires the person to remove at least 2 counters to deal with whatever it's going to be targeting. I could be wrong, maybe they decided to cut that to make the better decision, but that's just where I see it. Hero the Great Glass Spinner is just a really good card in Merfolk. Now, this person did heavily prepare a sideboard. Inside, it's using 3 Ceremonious Rejection, more than likely 4 Eldrazi Tron, more than likely 4 Affinity. Those are going to be 2 cards you're bringing in against those. It's using 2 Dispel for the white-blue control matchup. It's using 1 Echoing Truth to deal with tokens or whatever hasted out creatures it needs to deal with. 2 Hercule's Recall. Again, this almost exclusively deals with Affinity, but it also can be used against Eldrazi Tron if need be, regular Tron if need be, as well as Lantern Control, if need be, which is also dying down, partially because it's just not a fun deck to play, and it requires a lot of pieces to set up, so there's the format's kind of moving pace. It's not to say you still won't see a Lantern Control deck out there. It's still something you should fear, but it is dying down. The deck is also using 2 Negate, again, more than likely for the white-blue control matchup or any matchup that's going to be dropping down Angers or stuff like it's not going to like. 3 Relic of Progenitus just to deal with Snapcaster Mages and deal with more Dredge cards that show up. And 2 Unified Will, which I'm surprised that this card's making as much headway as it is right now. Unified Will, before I state what I'm going to say. Unified Will is an instant 1 blue, 1 colorless counter target spell if you control more creatures than that spell's controller does. It's a very niche card. I don't even think it saw play in Worldwake or in original Zendikar when it was out. I could be wrong, but I'm not recalling Unified Will seeing play. Again, I could be wrong. But the fact of the matter is, Merfolk does put out quite a bit more creatures than most decks. It puts out 2-3 creatures optimally a turn if it's able to. And the fact of the matter is, Unified Will can counter any spell. So it's just as good as Counterspell with the condition that, of course, you have to have more creatures. So as long as you're not going up against a spell that's just straight up removal, like Supreme Verdict or something like that, this card's going to get you straight value. I do like the fact that Unified Will is also making plays in Modern. I think it's still relatively low right now, so if you're specking on picking up Merfolk, Unified Will might be something that you want to look into. All in all, I'm excited that Merfolk made it to the top 8 in the SCG Open. It's a great thing that Merfolk's making a comeback. Hopefully it can keep this momentum going. I'd love Tribal. I would love to see a Tribal deck make it that far. I've playtested the Merfolk matchup many a time with Tribal Elves. And if it wasn't for the fact that Elves are vulnerable to burn, an excessive amount of burn, mind you, I would say Elves is definitely the better matchup. You get Elves together, you get Goblins together, and you get Merfolk together, the 3 biggest and most iconic tribal decks, at least in Legacy and Modern. And Elves is going to come out on top via those 2 decks. Elves is just quicker, Elves is faster, it has access to Coco, and it has access to Court of Calling. It's able to drop a Craterhoof if need be to swing out for game, or it can just drain you with life using Shaman of the Pact, which is amazing in a whole. Unfortunately, it is susceptible to burn. And that's where Merfolk has the advantage. The fact that Merfolk can lay out Lord after Lord after Lord, and they have a creature that's a built-in counterspell for burn spells, allows them to sustain themselves against burn. And Goblins, of course, is Goblins. Right now, it does have Pile Driver. Right now, it does have Goblin Guide. Right now, it has a lot of great Goblins in Modern, but it's missing something. It's just missing that oomph to get it there. And I don't know what that oomph is. Maybe it's just needs more hasters, or maybe it needs more lords that are efficient at the 2-drop slot. I think that's probably where, if anything, that Goblins are hurting the most, it's the 2-drop slot. Yes, they have Pile Driver, and they have a bunch of other stuff like War and Instigator and stuff like that. But compared to Merfolk's 2, that's where Goblins are hurting. Goblins are also relatively slow in the 3-drop slot compared to Elves 3 and Merfolk's 3-drop slot. There's other things that can be done, and granted, if Goblins get a Pile Driver out, it's relatively over for the merfolk player, but there are other things that they can do. They have dismembers and stuff like that. At least that's my opinion on the three tribal decks. There are other things you can do, but I'm going off topic. I'm going to try to go back to the four events that took place. So moving on, I'm going to quickly hit up Standard. I don't want to spend too long on Standard. It seems like we've been talking a lot about it lately, and it's kind of gotten stale for me a little bit. It's Standard is Standard. It's not like the Standard we had in World Wake and Zendikar. It's not the Standard of Shards of Alara. It's kind of stagnant for me right now. Granted, we do have access to a lot of decks, but you'll see why, and I'll quickly mention why. So the Standard event that took place that I'm going to mention first is GP Minneapolis. So in first place was Mono Black Zombies, second place Golgari Constrictor, third place Mardu Ballista, fourth place Red Deck Wins, fifth place Rakdos Aggro, sixth place Golgari Constrictor, seventh place Golgari Constrictor, and eighth place Golgari Constrictor. So if you notice something out of all those decks that I mentioned, there's no combo decks right now because combo's dead. In that top eight list in particular, there are no control decks. You can consider black-green constrictor control deck, but compared to the is it control decks that we have, it's not. It's just not. And we've gone over these decks in Standard quite regularly, actually. I'm surprised to see, as strong as we have control right now, that control's not making as big of a showing. And I'm a little disappointed, to be honest. I am. I'm running a control deck right now. And I usually have no problems. On occasion, I get mana screwed, but that's about it. I don't know what can be done right now to make control better. I think this is as best as control is going to get for a while, to be honest. I think Wizards of the Coast is afraid of making control strong. And I know for sure they're afraid of making combo strong. They learned their lesson with Saheeli Wrath. They learned their lesson with Aetherworks Marvel. And it's a difficult situation, I think, overall for them to go, we want to print control cards, but we can't make control too good, so we're just going to make the format aggro. Just straight up aggro, with hints of control here, and a combo over there, but it's like a turn 7 combo if you get it done. And I don't think that's the way they should run it, honestly. I think players, I've said it once on this show, I've said it multiple times on this show, I think players should be exposed to all three varieties of Magic, not just one. You can't just expose somebody to aggro and then they know briefly of what control is and then they have no idea what combo is, or they've heard a combo but they don't want to play because it's too overpowered or something like that. There has to be a way that you can regulate this. I would say if you want to set a precedent for Standard and you want to have combo in Standard, I would say the rule of thumb for combo in Standard is you can't win on turn 4 with combo. That precedent has been set for Modern. And there are some Modern decks that will occasionally win on turn 3 or turn 2. But for the most part, those combo decks get banned outright, or those combo decks just aren't reliable. Look at Goya's Vengeance. I think the precedent for Standard for combo decks has to be a turn 5, turn 6 max. That's what you have to be looking at. And there has to be sprinkles of control to be fit in that format as well. Even if you don't make control that great, I like the Is It Control deck that we have right now. I like the Timur control decks that are showing up. I like the Grixis deck control decks that are showing up, but they need an additional oomph to get there. So I don't know what can be done. I really don't. For Standard right now, it's just straight aggro. And to me, that's just not fun. That's why I enjoy Modern and Legacy a bit more. You get to play against different decks. You get to see different things. That's why I enjoy EDH a lot more, because you get to play with absurd amount of stuff. On the bright side, though, I don't think we have to worry about anything getting banned at all. It's either all going to rotate, or it's just not bannable. And it's an awkward situation, I think. I don't even want to talk about bans for Standard. I think Standard has seen enough bans. I think they need to let Standard recuperate for a long time before we even get to talking about that. I think there needs to be something that just takes the place of aggro, or control needs to make a better showing. Something. Something needs to happen. And that's just in live events. I'm going to go over the other event, which is an MTGO Standard. And there was a top 8 in that one. The top 8 and this one also varies quite a bit compared to the top 8 in GP Minneapolis. So the top 8 in the MTGO standard was Timur Energy, Gruul Ramp, Mono Black Zombies, another Timur Energy, Golgari Constrictor, Izzet Tower, Mono Black Aggro, and Mono Black Zombies. So the difference between Mono Black Aggro and Mono Black Zombies is literally like two creatures. They're almost the same deck. Timur Energy, another aggro deck we've talked about on the show, Gruul Ramp, showing up as ramping up into Ulamog or ramping up into Worldbreaker, even Neheb the Eternal. Just big creatures, do damage, get more mana, poop out a big creature. So it's effectively the way to get Ulamog out right now, which, fine, Ulamog showing back up. At least there's a ramp deck that's slightly different than the aggro decks that we currently have. And the only reason I even use the word slightly is because at least it's doing something a bit different. It's either killing your stuff or ramping. Not a huge difference. I miss Rampant Growth. I miss Cultivate. I miss Harrow. Heck, I even miss Kodama's Reach. And ramp right now, to me, kind of hurts my soul a little bit because there's not a heck of a lot of good ramp, but ramp is still there, so it's something to watch out for in standard. Outside of that, again, we're looking at an almost exclusively aggro list. There is one control deck, and that's Izzet Tower. Here, you see the deck win with Dynavolt Tower or Torrential Gearhulk, maybe even Wandering Fumaroil, and it just beats face with the Fumaroil or kills the field. It kills you eventually with Dynavolt Tower. It is running a one of Jace, Unraveler of Secrets. I'm not a huge fan of the Planeswalker, and I've heard people say it's basically Atonement for Jace the Mind Sculptor. There's that Jace, and then Jace Living Guild Pact. Both those Jaces are kind of Atonement for Jace Vryn's Prodigy and Jace the Mind Sculptor. Not huge Atonements, but Atonements nonetheless. I'm glad a control deck showed up. I'm, again, kind of surprised it's Izzet Tower of all things, but the online field, I would say, is just as strange as tournaments in, say, Kyoto or any other tournament that you generally see overseas. You can't base a format and you can't test a field based on an online thing. The online format, I would argue, is a different beast compared to the real-life format that we have. I would even say it's different than the Kyoto stuff. You can't really predict what is going to be good and what's going to be bad based on online things. But I digress. I'm going to leave Standard there for a bit. I don't really want to talk about it. Standard is kind of leaving a bad taste in my mouth right now. But who knows, maybe next week we'll talk a little bit more about it. So before I end this podcast, I want to go ahead and say that I am actually currently working on a modern deck tech. I'm testing it out to see how it does, and right now I'm kind of enjoying it. It is a combo deck that I've kind of put together, and I'm making small adjustments to it. Hopefully, within a couple of weeks, I'll have it set where it's doing well, and it's successful in my local game stores that I just cycle around to. Either way, I'm going to let you guys know about the list via the podcast. I'll let you guys be the judge of it when it's all said and done. Till then, I'm going to kind of keep a surprise, and who knows, maybe you guys will want to try it out for yourself. Maybe it'll be the new combo to kind of help take up the space that has been left behind by other combo decks in the past, at least modern-wise. Just a quick reminder again, keep your eye out for the contest. I'm going to announce it via Twitter, and I'm going to announce it via the podcast when it happens. I'm going to have a real nice prize going on, so if you do like getting free stuff, keep your eyes out for it. Also, again, I do plan on posting another podcast later this week, heavily featuring the Commander decks that are coming out. So if you're into Commander, please stay tuned for that. It's going to be a nice wild ride for everyone. So just remember, all lines of thought are open for all Magic Seekers. This is your host from MTG Eternities, signing out.